This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You alone
are my redemption. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Lord, how great is your love, Father. And as we worship, you show me this huge angel at the front of our church, which you appointed for this church, Father. We thank you. But also other angels with trumpets, and they are just blowing and celebrating with us how great you are, how great you are. You are so great, Father. Help us to grasp it. Help us to open up in the name of Jesus Christ, that we can grasp it. Open up your hearts, open up your understanding. How great is our God. There's no one like our God. No one even comes close to this. It's just far and far the best. Lord, we honor you. We praise you. We sing for you, Father, and as we said, for generations and generations. We love you, Lord, for the generations and the generations, and that you could keep us on this track. There's always a remnant that stays with you, Lord, that you are their God, and we thank you. We thank you out of the bottom of our hearts, Lord, that we may be part of this, that we could choose you, Lord, because you're just the best. You are the best. We love you, Father, Son. We love you, Holy Spirit. Have your way today. Have your way in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hello, everyone. I'm trying to work with all the gadgets, so we're getting there. It's beautiful what God always does and what he shows. And, ach ja, he's just for the best for all of us. I think I can read better without. Okay. When God shared with me what I have to share today, he said, my kingdom come. And I have already preached about this. And I said, ah, Lord. I had this conversation with God. And I said, ah, Lord, the last few weeks we've heard all about this. Isn't it now finished? Didn't we get it? Is there still stuff we missed? Because we had sermons on Follow Me last week. Derkan, who clearly explained to us what it means when Jesus said to his disciples, follow me. It was so beautiful. Be the light, be the salt. I remember the sermon I had on the hearts and the lungs to connect with God. How do we connect with God? What does it mean to surrender and to have his love and the love to other people and obedience? So yes, I think by now we get it. Now we kind of have it. We know what we must do and how we must live and how we must do. But surprise, surprise, there's something more seemingly, which is beautiful. And in the beginning, I struggled to grasp it because God said to me, study relationships in the Bible. And I thought, Lord, you said, let my kingdom come. What is now about relationship? But as we go through it, it is so beautiful how he unfolds it. And he says, God was always into relationship. It's his one big thing. He wants relationship with us. When he created Adam and Eve, he had relationship with them. When they fell in sin, he made a plan for relationship to be restored. Still, he's into relationship with us. And we are in relationship with him and with one another. And that is where the challenge is often. Not so much with God. I think perhaps we don't know him always, or we don't see him always, or we don't feel him always, or whatever. But relationships in general can be very challenging, can be a super blessing. I have one friend, and I thank God for having this special friend. I think if you have a friend in your life that is super special and that you really have a good connection with, it is it's such a blessing. And I don't think it happens to everyone, and I don't think you always have one, but I have one, and I really enjoy that so much, because we can share with one another in honesty, in all what we experience of God, how we see God, how she sees God, how we interact with one another. She has helped me so many times to grow with God, where I missed it. So it's really nice if you have someone that can check your blind spots. And I think not one of us are excused of blind spots. So it's beautiful. So relationships is where the challenge is. It's a giving, it's a receiving, it is a being there for one another, even when it's uncomfortable for yourself. It's sometimes a sacrifice to be there for one another. Sometimes it's just a joy, and it's such a blessing. But there are troubled times that we all know in relationships, and especially when you're married, you know, you have a choice. Are you going to work through this, or are you hoping that it will disappear? Well, join the club. We are now many years married, and I can tell you it doesn't disappear. You need to work on it. You need to, and those challenges is not easy. They are not easy. They are difficult, but it's worthwhile going through it and pushing through it, and humble yourself and die to yourself and just try. Okay. So we're going to look at a few relationships in the Bible, just short, and see how also in these relationships, God is also working his kingdom. Because remember, the sermon's name is My Kingdom Come. So how does God's kingdom come in these relationships? And just keep with me. So the first one I want to look at was Elijah and Elijah. With the essay. So when God said to Elijah, he fled after that awesome miracle that with the Baal prophets, actually he let them all be murdered and killed. But he fled from Jezebel because she was a really terrible force. It was actually a spiritual force in her that it made him so scared that he ran away. Okay. Then he was gone. He thought he was gone. And then God spoke to him and he says, Elijah, what are you doing here? And then he says, yeah, but Lord, I'm the only survivor. It's beautiful when God speaks to him. And then God says, no, you know, there's 7,000 others that also didn't bow before other gods. You're not the only one. So sometimes we think we are the only one. You're not the only one. There's other places, also people that are faithful. But in any case, he said to Elijah, go and anoint. He said other things as well, but go and anoint Elijah. He will follow you. He will. You need to train him. It's like what Darkan preached about, follow me. So you need to go to Elijah. So here he finds Elijah. He's plowing with 12 oxen. It must have been a powerful way of plowing if you have 12 oxen. It's not two. It's 12 of them. So what did Elijah do? He didn't ask him for a coffee. He just put his coat over him and he walked away. But I found it very strange, but seemingly they understood one another. And Elijah realized, oh, okay, I need to follow this person. I need to get... So he slaughtered one of his oxen, or perhaps more. He burnt the yolks. He made a fire of the yolks. And he fried the meat. He had a nice barbecue there. And they ate all the stuff. And he followed Elijah. So actually, if you look at it, he actually burnt his past life away. He couldn't go back. The oxen were dead. The yoke was gone. It was all up in fire. And he made this new turn to God and to Elijah. But it was for God's kingdom. Then later we learn there's a scripture in 2 Kings 2 where Elijah says, Elijah knew he's going to be taken up by God today. That was after 6 years walking with him, following, learning everything. And Elijah also knew it. And there was other prophets also in Jericho who knew this. So he said, I'm not going to stay behind. Three times Elijah said, okay, you can wait here. Then he says, no, I will not, I will not, I will not. And he pushed through and he walked with him. And they crossed the Jordan and it opened up again. And they crossed there. And then as they were talking, Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind of with fire. And he left behind his coat. Now remember, the coat is the identity. It is your authority. And Elijah asked a double portion. And Elijah said, well, we'll see. If you can see that I'm taken up, then you will receive the double portion. So he received the double portion. If you want to know more about this thing of double portion, come and join us on Encounter 3. There is such a richness in it that we miss. I missed it for many years because I didn't know what it meant. And that it's up for us for grabs, as you can say also. Okay, so, and then Elijah went back and he put on that coat. He actually first tore his own coat and then he put on Elijah's coat. So this was for the kingdom of God. They were both faithful in what God wanted them to do. If we look at David and Jonathan, some people will say they were homosexual. I think it's really not true because God is not into these relationships. But when David conquered Goliath, that giant, Saul, Jonathan's dad, was king, and he called him. He said, wow, where do you get this power? Whoa, you are amazing. Come to the palace. So they spoke with one another, and Jonathan, after they've spoken, it says in the Bible, I think in, do you have the scripture there? Somewhere. It says that Jonathan's heart connected with David's heart. It was like a soul tie. Now, when we speak of soul ties, we often speak of our loved one, no, our husband or our wife. But this was man to man, and they were really, that's why I think I shared in the beginning about my friend, which I have. It's, I don't know if you can call it a soul tie, but it's such a connection that you have with this person of your same gender. Nothing can take its place. It's not a romantic kind of relationship, but you're there for one another. You're so, it's your body. It's the person you go to. So Jonathan and David was like this. And when they realized that because of Saul's jealousy he had towards David, because people admired him because he was mighty and good and whatever, they sang awesome songs for David. So Saul, the king, got jealous and he thought, this is not good. I don't like this. I am the king. So David and Jonathan knew their friendship is not to be. It will always be troubled because Jonathan's dad is not into this. He's going to block it. Some of us have relationships like that. You really have a good connection with someone, but your mom or your dad or whatever, or that person's mom or dad, or blocks it. You just know it will never be. It is just not to be. And when David and Jonathan separated, they cried. It was really bad for them. Jonathan warned David sometimes when his dad was on his way to kill him. But at the end, David lived in caves for many years. But he still honored Saul, the king, and Jonathan's dad. And when Saul and Jonathan died in war, David sought for an ancestor of Saul or Jonathan, whom he could still honor. Isn't that beautiful? This guy fought you for many years. He wanted to kill you. You had to fled for your life for many years. Now they're dead. Hallelujah. No, that's not what David says. He says, is there anyone of Saul? Because he knew Saul was in the beginning anointed and appointed by God. And then they found Mephibosheth, who was a son of Jonathan and who was crippled because at the age of 5, his caretaker ran with him from I think it was that same battle where Saul and Jonathan was killed in, I'm not sure. But in any case, he fell and he was lame afterwards. So then David said, bring him to me. I want to restore to him. And he gave him all Saul, his grandpa's kingdom. And also this, the people who worked for Mephibosheth were supposed to take care of the land and sell the fruit of the land. So isn't that a beautiful legacy? It's in relationship. It's really like God's kingdom coming, where I would think, oh, yes, I'm so glad this guy is now dead. No, God has another plan. So we need to be connected. What does God say? How does his kingdom look like? Okay, we're quickly going to look at Naomi and Ruth. Ruth was the daughter-in-law of Naomi. Naomi had boys or sons. They died in a foreign country. So Ruth was not of the country where Naomi came from. So she wanted to return to her homeland. It was just better for her. And then Ruth says, you know, but Mom, it was her mother-in-law, I'm going to stick to you. I'm going to stick. And it's beautiful. I think all of us know those verses where she says, your God will be my God. Your land will be my land. Where you die, I will die. What are identifying with Naomi? And I think it's a parable in that sense. It happened really. But how do we identify with God? How do we identify with our relationship with God? Is it 100%? Or like Ruth's, like the other daughter-in-law, she preferred to stay behind. It was not wrong to stay behind. But she couldn't do this. And I don't know. There's nothing in the Bible that says, yeah, she also had to come. I don't think it was necessary. But yeah, your God is my God. God, you are my everything. You are everything I want to live for. It is not easy. It's a huge challenge. Then we're going to look to God and Israel. As I said, from the beginning, God, and if I speak of God, it's God Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God was always into relationship. And when I studied this, the timeline of Israel and the relationship with God, I realized, oh, okay, this is actually why Israel is like Israel and not Palestine, what, yeah, in any case, we'll get there. So God had a, they found Abraham 2,000 years before Jesus was born, 1950 before Christ. They found contracts on clay tablets of Babylonian kings and Abram. It is Abu Ramu. So there was evidence of that there was a man like Abraham. The Jews, by the way, we know the most of that, can you say, culture of those people group, of any other people group in the world. There's the most written stuff and evidence of them. If we think of the Philistines and the Midianite, or they, I don't know where they are, but they are not anymore. But the Jews are still. And so there was contracts with the Babylonian kings and Abraham. And God called Abraham, and he made a covenant with him. Now, that's the start, actually, of, if you can say, the Jews or the Israelites. God always wanted relationships. Then Noah happened. Then he tried again. And then he thought. Then he started to choose a specific person, and out of that grew a nation. And he always is committed to them. Still, God is committed to Israel now, although they went through rough patches. Okay, so Abram came from Ur, and he moved down to Canaan, or where Israel is. And then there was a drought, a famine, and they moved to Egypt, where Joseph was, his one son. God already had provision there, so they could buy food there. And they stayed there. I don't know how long. Does it say there how long? No, not yet. I had it, but sorry, I missed it now. So they stayed there for many years in Egypt, but they were so prosperous in land Goshen that they, you know, the Egyptian people thought, perhaps they're getting more powerful than us, and they made them slaves. And we know the rottenness of how they have been slaves. It was terrible. And then Moses came, and Moses led them out of Egypt, and they toured for 40 years, but eventually they came into the land Canaan, where Israel is situated now. And they lived there without a king and without the capital city, Jerusalem. They had many cities there, and they chilled there. It was nice there. Then came kings, plus minus 1000 BC, and Jerusalem was founded as the capital, also in Jerusalem, and also the kings were established, and also the temple. Solomon, David's son, built the temple. So now they're really getting into settling and being, this is their country, this is where they live. But yeah, Moses already foretold them in Deuteronomy 28. You can see, if you do my will, these blessings will happen to you. Still today, it's actually applicable. If you see all the diseases and all the curses that comes, if you do not do my will, we recognize a lot of the stuff we struggle with. And then it also says, but if you do my will, these blessings will come to you. But because of their sin, around 600 BC, they went in exile to Babylon. Most of them, all the leaders were taken there. It was a strategy to take the leaders with you, and you leave the worker class behind, if I can say it like that. But Nebuchadnezzar also burned down the temple, which was the holy place, which was the place where God met with them. And for 70 years, 70, they were in Babylon. Then the Persians came, and Cyrus the emperor said, okay, you may go back to Israel, the country where you come from, and you will live there as a province of my reign, of what I'm reigning here. So they went back. They restored the wall of Jerusalem. We read it in the Old Testament, and they lived there for 200 years. Then Alexander the Great from the Greek came. When we go to Nijmegen, sorry, it's another story. Nijmegen is another town in the Netherlands. Then you see that Alexander the Great also had influence there. Okay, so when Alexander the Great came, he conquered nearly all the world. It's his strategy, if you study history, his strategy is amazing how he did it. But he also said, okay, you can be a province under me for 200 years. Okay, so that happened. Then with his death, his kingdom dissolved into four kingdoms. Already Daniel foretold this. It was a prophecy of Daniel, that this is what will happen. So it broke up in four kingdoms. Then the Romans said, okay, they got to reign over Israel. They said, okay, you're still a province, but now under us, under the Romans. And that's when Jesus was born. That's why we learn so much in the Bible of the Romans, because that was the time when Jesus came also. They had a small little period in between of the Maccabees where they were independent. But yeah, you can understand now, Israel always, the Jews always wanted their country back. They always wanted to live on their own again as what God has given them. And they try, and that's why when Jesus came, they expected, okay, perhaps now we can conquer this place for ourselves again. But it was so different now when Jesus came. It was a different kingdom. So 70 after Christ, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. They burned it down, and also the second temple that was built. And when Cyrus said they can go back and rebuild it, they just demolished it. They burned it down again. And they scattered the Jews all over the Roman Empire. Still, there was a remnant, and they tried and they tried. And there was a revolt in 135 after Christ, but they were defeated. And now the people were really angry. And Rome renamed the place, renamed Judea, the place Syria Palestina. And they renamed Jerusalem, which was still in ruins, to Alia Capitolina. I miss my Italian people here. Capitolina, see, it sounds to me the capital. Alia, the capital. So that's where the name Syria Palestina came in. The Romans, and they forbid any Jew to live there. They just had it with this nation now. Who cannot submit. It's terrible. So then they are, this is how they lived then for plus minus 2 years. Anti-Semitic persecutions in many countries, especially in Christian countries, sadly enough. In Spain, they were expelled in 1492. All Jews were expelled from Spain. And across Western Europe to Russia, the Jews lived often in dangerous situations and also in the Islamic caliphates. It's amazing that there's still a remnant, that there's still people calling themselves Jews for 2,000 years. When you immigrate to a country, after the second generation, you're kind of part of that country. So it's really a miracle that there are still Jews after 2,000 years not living really there, not dispersed over the world. It's amazing. It's just a miracle. So their second exile was 1,900 years. I don't know if you can see it there. Yeah. It's terrible. And then World War II came. We know of everything that happened to the poor Jews then. Nearly they were extinct, like a dangerous species. Something like, it's terrible. But still, there was a remnant. And the Holocaust, all that terrible things happened. But then the United Nations said in 1948, we give you back Israel. Now you must know there live other people there. For many years, they were not allowed to live there. So they give in 1948, after the war, they give this back to Israel. You know why there is still fights. Those people who live there are not happy with them. Okay? And then in 1967, Jerusalem was also renamed Jerusalem again. Okay? After so many, many, many years. It's really a miracle how God is looking out for his people, for his nation. They go through terrible things. And still God is there. And these things were spoken already by Moses in Deuteronomy, I think it's 30 verse 3 to 4. Yes. I'm just going to read that quickly. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion upon you and will gather you again from all the nations where he has scattered you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. And he will do you good and multiply you above your fathers. So we are in that phase now. They are back. Some of them are back into Israel. Still, there's so many wars. In 1948, in 1956, 76, 73. Sometimes it's five nations around them that fight them. It's amazing that they still exist. It is, but all of this, it's God's relationship with his people. God is faithful, even if it's difficult, even if you're in exile, even if there's a Holocaust, it's terrible. But still, there's a remnant. There's always a remnant. It's so awesome. If you, it's really a miracle that this can be, that there's still people that say, yes, I am a Jew. My father and mother immigrated to South Africa on honeymoon. So I was born in South Africa. And then I felt I'm South African. When I'm here, I feel I'm South African. When I'm South Africa, I feel I'm a little strange. But my children totally feel South African. It was two generations. It's magnificent that even living in between other people, not believing in God like you do, not believing in Jesus, you're still a Jew. And sometimes we think, yes, our circumstances are so difficult. You know, the whole environment is ungodly, and how will we survive? Poor us. God is faithful. He's with us. You stay. You stick. He stays. He sticks. Okay, so that was the relationship part. So what is God's kingdom? What is a kingdom? If you think, what is a kingdom? Often we think a kingdom is a place or a country with geographical and political boundaries. We think that's the kingdom. We have a king in the Netherlands, so his kingdom is the Netherlands. No? But when we speak of God's kingdom, my kingdom, God's kingdom, it's when you go to the Greek word, it's much more about the rule or the reign of a king. So the rule or the reign of a king, then in what area he reigns. So it's not necessarily the country. Does God's kingdom reign in the world? Definitely not everywhere. We know it. If you're really a follower of God, we know there's many things that struggle to follow his kingdom. And it's I read a certain guy's arguments on this, and he says, we call it, there's an already aspect of God's kingdom. That's where the God's principles and habits and favor, if I can say, reigns. And then that's an already place, and then there's a not yet. It's beautiful, not yet. It's not that doesn't. It's not yet. Not yet totally there. It will come. There are godly things. If you think of the Netherlands, where we live now, you know, they previously there were rankings in people. There were slaves and emperors and kings. And the Dutch actually wanted to get that away, that every person is worthy. It's part of God's kingdom. God looks to us as worthy. Every person. Doesn't matter what your job is. No? So this is part of godliness in this country. Also, justice, a justice system. Sometimes the justice is a little skew, but there is a justice system. They try to be righteous. Yeah? It's also part of God. So when we see these areas in your where you live, or in your country where you live, that is not really godly, like for instance abortions, where the abortions is, or the prostitutions, it's really not a blessing to God's kingdom. It's a place where it's not yet. So then we pray for that it will become. Okay. So there's a picture of a coin. I was looking at a coin on both sides, but we just found this one. I think it's our king, Alexander. Nee, it is Alexander, hè? Willem Alexander. Nearly I was thinking this is not Alexander the Great, he's dead. Okay, so this is Alexander, our king, yeah, in the Netherlands. And God's kingdom and God's will is the same coin, just the other side. It's actually, when we pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. It's more or less the same. Yeah, God's kingdom will be his will reigning where we are, in our hearts and in the country. In Matthew 6, verse 9 to 10, we pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. So in heaven, it's perfect, God's kingdom, and that is what needs to be established here. And that will carry on till the coming of Jesus, when he comes back. So that's a thing that we strive for in our relationships with people in the country. That's what we pray for. This week we could speak to the political party of the Christian Unie in Utrecht. It's awesome. I enjoyed it so much. They have a heart for God's kingdom. They want to see God's kingdom established in Utrecht. And in a political way, they want to do what they can to have it godly. So we strive for that. We try for that. If I ask you, what is your image? If I speak of kingdom, what do you have in your mind? If I say God's kingdom, what do you think it represents? If you have no clue, or you're not sure, actually when you pray, then God's kingdom come. It's just words. It's a religious thing to say. It sounds good. It sounds cool. But when you're not in relationship with God, you struggle to grasp really what does it mean. So what if we say, let your kingdom come, what do we say? What does it mean? It will shape your behavior if you realize what you're praying for. If you have a heart for justice, and you want to see justice to be righteous, that is part of God's kingdom. So then you will stir in that way. You will put some effort to see that justice is righteous. If your heart is more for taking care of the poor or the widows or the single people or the vulnerable people, that's also part of God's kingdom. He said we must take care of the orphans and the widows. It was the vulnerable people when Jesus lived. So that will stir you in that way. So if you think that means God's kingdom to come, your behavior will be according to that. Your prayer, your heart, your focus, what you want to see to be established. So we want God's law, God's heart, God's will, and God's values. That is what we want in ourselves, but also in relationships where we are, and in the city, in the country. God's law, God's heart, his will, and his values must be established. We all have heard of Martin Luther King, who on August 28, in 1963, he said, I have a dream. It was a godly dream. It was a dream of slaves being set free. It was a dream of white and black children to play together, to be worthy. It was his heart. It was part of God's kingdom, so his focus was on that, which is awesome. Do you have a dream? Do you have a dream? What is God's kingdom? God will stir you somewhere. We must pursue that. When we seek his kingdom purposefully, you make an effort to pray into that, then God starts to move to make his kingdom happen. Now, so we must be serious with God. You know, if you're not serious with God, then you're not. I don't know what to say. If you're not serious with God, you will not help him plant his kingdom. You will not establish his kingdom. And God wants to speak to us. He wants to share. He wants to put stuff on your heart, and which is amazing. When we had to plant a white flag somewhere, God says, yes, white represents all colors. And it reminded me of his whole body. God created so many different people, but all together he created all of us. So your gift, your thinking, your heart is different than the one next to you. It's supposed to be like that, because together we bring the kingdom. It's not you on your own. That's why I think a monk doesn't work so well. You must be in relationship. You must be there. So we invite God to rule. And we have confidence that He will rule in those places. Okay, now we come to the little closer part. In Luke 22, verse 42, Jesus said, just before He was crucified, "Father, if You are willing, remove this cup from Me, but nevertheless, not My will, but Yours be done." Can we honestly say that? When we pray, we often pray, "Our kingdom and Our will," because it's just so much more important than God's kingdom, God's will. It's just, we are wired so selfish. "Lord, bless me today when I have this interview. Father, I really need my kids to be healthy because I'm getting crazy. Father, do this." It's all Your kingdom. It's all Your kingdom. It's all Your will. Yeah. And we see the example in Jesus. It must have been terrifying for Him to know what's going to happen. And then He says, "Not My will, Your will." It costs you if you say, "Not My will." It costs you Your kingdom. It costs you Your will. And not many of us is prepared to do that. Sometimes, yes, we're prepared to do a little. "All right, Lord, I'll do the Sunday thing. If that's Your will, I'll do the Sunday thing. That's cool. I'll even sing when we worship. That's okay." But we're not prepared to let Him in more. It's perfect. We want to keep it like that. I'm happy often when we evangelize. People say, "I'm happy where God is and where I am." It's not that I do not acknowledge Him necessarily, but He can stay there and I can stay there. It's still Your kingdom. It's still, you're fighting for Your kingdom and Your will. And to say, "No, Lord, Your will. Let Your will be done." And I think that's why we had this long thing before all the other sermons. You need to know what is God's voice. You need to know you're in a relationship with God. You need to know what is His plan for you specific. He planted you in the season, yeah. What are you supposed to do? Yeah. And it's beautiful when God starts to speak. I'm often not so much in agreement with God, sorry, but then I have to repent and say, "Okay, sorry, Lord, Your will." But don't you think this was also cool? No, Renate, this. So my cool idea is not always so cool. But God's ideas has fruit. And that is beautiful. And I had to learn to submit. It took me to surrender, to sacrifice my own kingdom, my own will. It was a huge shift in my life, but what a blessing. I would have missed so much in my life if I didn't submit. I still cruised on my own. I don't want to miss this. It was tough, but I really want to not miss this. So sometimes we are in pain, or we are hurt, or we had a trauma, or we grew up with lots of things that were not perfect, and we're not really wanting God to move in there. "You know, Lord, it's still too painful. I don't want to talk with You about that. I'll serve You in church. I'll be a volunteer. Or I'll even lead a small group. I'll even go to intercession, Lord, but that's it. Don't come to me personally. Don't come too close. My jealousy, my issues with my friend, my drivenness, my broken relationships, my escapism. I want my social media. Without that, I'm not complete. I really need it. Lord, I'll give the rest of my life to You. But this little part, it's part of technology. It's part of how the world operates. And I really need this." You know, mostly it's part of Your kingdom. Not everything. There's good things in that also. Many of you work in IT. So I will not. We need it. And thanks to IT for a lot of stuff. But your work can be your drivenness, broken relationship, pride, offenses, your money. And I think escapism is the most. It's your safe place. It's where you think you can recharge. Actually, you don't really recharge. If you do not recharge with God, you will never totally recharge. You will always, there will always be an issue, a thingy in your life. Yes, so it cost us. It cost us our kingdom and it cost us our will. And our emotions, our motives, our will is supposed to look like God's motives, emotions and will. And yes, it sounds now, oh, you must leave your whole oxen behind and burn the yoke and no turning back. We have a song like that, no turning back. No, it's not really like that. It's your thinking, your renewing of your mind, how to walk in this season. God doesn't necessarily want you away of this place or where you're with or the interactions you have or the friendships you have. Sometimes he does. He asked me and Darkan to come to Utrecht. It was a huge sacrifice, but it's not necessarily for everyone. God has different things where he is at with you, and that you need to pursue. Yeah. And it's a renewing of your mind. I remember we had a small group, and a lady came to visit the small group for 6 months. She visited longer. But when she came, she thought abortion is good as long as it's safe. She thought homosexuality is worthy. If you're like that, it's beautiful. God created you that way. And after 6 months, she said, Renee, I don't know what happened, but I'm not in agreement with that anymore. God renewed our mind. Yeah. If we let God in, he can renew our mind. He can give us new perspectives on stuff. His perspective, his emotion. If you could walk past beggars or people who don't have a house or cannot bath well, and you think, oh, this guy smells. Often when I am in the bus, I think too many people don't have soap or a shower. But still, there are creations of God. Yeah. I must have a heart according to God's heart. I don't know what God actually is. I know they are worthy, but I don't like the smell around them. But then I make sure I have some perfume and then I smell like this. I think it's often jackets that people wear too often and they don't wash it. I don't know what it is, but if you smell too well, it's not nice. Okay. So we're nearly there. Let me just see here. Yeah. The next picture is of a plastic bag and a bath. When I prayed, I said, okay, Lord, what do you want to say more? And he showed me a plastic bag with a Ziploc, with that seal thing. Okay, I know plastic is now out of the hell, seemingly, lately. But in any case, it's still a plastic bag. And think, if you look at that plastic bag, it can hold 2 liters volume, or 2 liters water, or whatever. If you are that plastic bag, some of us open it a little, and we let in 2 drops. It's cool. It was open, and we close it, and we leave it like that. 2 drops. But God has put a much bigger capacity in us. The full 2 liters is what he has put in us. But we are now very stingy because our kingdom is so important and so powerful. So we don't want to open the Ziploc. We don't want to fill it. And God says, the more we open it up, let your will be done, Lord. Help me to understand your will. Help me to understand why you've placed me for this season here. The more you will fill it, the more he will share with you. The more you will renew your mind. And after 6 months, you will think, yes, I'm thinking strange because 6 months back I thought this, but now I know it's this. It's beautiful how God can work with us if we prepare to open up. How do we open up? We had many sermons on that. You sit with God and you pray. You hear what is his heart in every situation. If I'm in the bus and I smell something, I say, Lord, I don't do that, but I can. Lord, what is your heart for this person? Can I pray for this person? There must be something that God thinks of this person, something positive. He created him. He thought of him when he created him. So he's into this person. So if I'm not into this person, okay, you don't have to be into everyone, but your heart must be for all people, not only a few. Okay. And God says we must open it up regularly. Now I want to say it's part of the infilling of the Holy Spirit regularly. I know there's some people that say you can only be filled once. It's like our sanctification. The more of God flows in, the more of not of God can flow out. But if you keep it closed, you're stingy. You keep everything for yourself, but actually the only thing you keep for yourself is your own kingdom and your own world. Yeah? And often we have godly things in our kingdom. Derkan is he can work very hard, double as what I can work. So he also loves his work as pastor, but also still he has got his own business in South Africa. He loves business. He loves business. So he will be an alcoholic. Is that wrong to work? No. Is it wrong to be a workaholic? Yes. Understand? So often the things we do is not necessarily wrong. It's your attitude with it, your emotions with it, what you do with it, that can be. So where you work, your attitude there, do you pray for that place? Do you have a heart that God's kingdom established? Agbonus had this beautiful testimony of how he didn't want to share, and then he thought, okay. We all know how that feels. And God opened the door. So what do you then believe? If you're not religious, so what are you then? So explain. Beautiful. What a chance. Now, when we do evangelism, then often people say, yes, where do you come from? I can hear on your accent. Hey, you must not ask me that. Then I say, yes, I come from South Africa. Okay, so why do you live here? Because God wants us here. You know, wrong question. Now you're going to listen. It's how God opens the door for us. It's beautiful. Sometimes I feel, it's better that they don't know. Especially when you need a favor of someone, you think, this church thing will not go off well. But still, God opens the door and he brings you favor. Okay, and it's the same with a bath. If you have a bath and you think of going in the bath, or you need a bath, or you want a bath, but you don't do it, it doesn't help you have a bath. If you think, yes, I'm going to stare at my bath, isn't that a luxurious bath? If you think, yes, I'm going to look at our new bath, doesn't it look good? It's like looking at God's kingdom. Yeah, this is amazing. Wow, it's cool. It's very good. But you don't do anything with it. You don't use it for its purpose. If you have this bath and you tap it full of water and you put in the plug, well, I got the right word, the plug, I thought a plug is a thing that you put in the electricity, but seemingly this is also a plug. And the water is in there. You still need to get into the water to get a bath. Yeah. So that is with God's kingdom. You can look at it. Yes, the principles are cool. Our neighbors, they are not Christians, but they vote for the Christian party. Why? Because they love the morals and that goes with it. It's like wanting to have this bath but not really going into it, because that's really too much. I need to keep my Ziploc closed because my kingdom perhaps will be washed off in that bath. So how do we look at God's kingdom? And I will pray just now. But it's all about spending time with God. And when God says, this is how you pray, let my kingdom come as it is in heaven, we need to look at our kingdom. How does it differ with God's kingdom? Where does he want us to be adjusted? Open up that ziplock, go into the bath, get plunged under God's kingdom, under his presence. When we interceded before church, I saw rain, and it was as if God said, I want to bless each person today with rain, with his blessing. Rain is often blessing. Where you're at, God wants to share with you what is his part of kingdom that he wants you to pursue. And it will change perhaps over time. It just depends on how far you open and how regularly regularly you open the Ziploc, if you prepare to spend time with God, to pray with Him, to hear, and please, when you pray, don't pray about your wish list and your kingdom. Ask Him, Lord, what is on your heart? I'm going to wait till I hear. And you wait. And you say, Lord, is there some piece in the Bible that I can read that will help me, that will give me a hint? Then you read that. Sometimes I have to read it 3 times. Sometimes I have to read it 5 times. Sometimes I really pray and I said, Lord, I have no clue. What's your message? I do not understand this piece. I've read it loud. I've read it verse for verse. I've put my, what do you call it? Is it inclination? What you put the, if you say, this is my kingdom. This is my kingdom. This is my kingdom. Yeah, your emphasis. Well, you put your I put the emphasis on different words. Still, I don't get it. So, Lord, what is it? If you're not pushing in, you will hear nothing. It's time. It takes time. Are you prepared to spend time with God? It sounds very boring. Before I knew that you can have a relationship with God, I didn't know how to do it. I thought, oh, well, if I go to church, it's fine. But you miss out on so much. It's so rich. It's so beautiful. When I went to Den Haag to go and pray there in the parliament, once a month I tried to go there and join IOP, the International House of Prayer. And God showed how His kingdom looked like. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And then I think, yes, we miss out because we don't want to sit with Him. We miss out on the pictures He gives you. We miss out on the words He want to give. We miss out on the spiritual gifts because we don't spend time. And I want to end with these few sentences of Tim Smith that said, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. It relates to one another. If you don't spend time with God, don't expect anything. His kingdom will not manifest through you. You will not make a difference. You will just be a good person. If you spend a little more time, there will be more power to help in His kingdom. If you spend a lot of time, He can use you much more. It's your choice. Are you going to jump in the bath? Do you want the rain? Are you going to open that Ziploc often? It's worth it. And I don't think we ever can say, yes, now I've arrived. Oh, I've got everything together. Man, if you are at this level, then it's perfect. I don't think we will ever arrive. There's always beautiful and awesome stuff. More. I'm reminded of one thing. I thought I'll remember to say it, but now I'm reminded of that. Once, it was very long back. I think we were 7 years married, so it's nearly 30 years back. I just had it with marriage, in a sense. I just thought, Lord, I thought it's much more fun and it's not much nicer. And seemingly, it's hard work taking care of babies and Dargan working hard, and even after work, he studied. I was pregnant. We were pregnant with our third, I'm just going to drink something, with our third child. I was pregnant, we were pregnant with our third child when Dargan finished studying. I'm so glad he finished. But yeah, so there was little time with Dargan, lots of time of taking care of kids, and with him, a workaholic, I just missed him. I just missed what I thought was marriage. And then God said to me, Renee, you will be accountable for what you do with the husband I've given you. I will be accountable how I treat him, if I'm angry with him because he's never there, if I respect him, because that's what our ladies need to do, is to respect our husbands, but vice versa. Our husbands need to love us. It's part of God's kingdom. It's part of God's kingdom in your marriage. And I started to pray for myself. so that I could do that, so that I could respect him more, so that I could be the better wife. Because with a heart like that, you're also not very cool. You miss it. But we will be accountable also in our relationships, even if you're not married. In relationships, what do you do? How do you act with people you work with your family, with your spouse, with where you are? How do you treat them? We will be accountable. And is it the way we do it? Is it part of God's kingdom? When we do marriage prep, I always love this part where they say, the husband needs to love the wife like Jesus loved the church. I said, yes. Jesus didn't say, bring my coffee, bring my plate, do this, sweep the floor, raise the toilets clean. God doesn't say that. He's so much into his church. He is so awesome. It's not like that, and he's not doing that. He brings the coffee. He's such a blessing. He brings even breakfast. So, how do we treat one another? I just felt God wants me to share that. Okay, you may stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that you're a good Father. We thank you for your blessings. Lord, I feel we must just put our hands as if you receive something. Father, we want to receive the blessing, the rain that you showed us before the sermon, that you want to give to us. Father, we want to receive this blessing right now. And I feel to say also for those who look on Facebook, whenever you look, do it. Stand up, have your hands ready. God wants to bless you with a little part of his kingdom. Father, we open up our ziplocks. We open up the bath. We jump into it. We want to be under the water. We want to have everything you have for us, Father. Little by little, lots by lots, what your will be perfect. So we come now humbly, Father, and we say thank you for what you impart in us now. Thank you for the ideas. Thank you for the hearts. Thank you for our emotions. Thank you for the guts to face difficult situations. Thank you that you renew our minds little by little from now, because we're available. We open up the ziplock, Father. We want to live for your kingdom. We want to see your kingdom come first in ourselves, then in us around us, Lord. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. We open up. Father, thank you. Thank you. While your eyes are closed, God reminds me of when we see our grandchildren and they stand next to us and they want to be picked up. They put both hands in the air and they even tap you on the legs. Pick me up, pick me up. And it is as if God wants to see, do we reach out to him? Do we want his attention? Do we want to be picked up by him? Yes, Lord, we want. Yes, Lord, we want. And if you want, you can put up your hands high up in the air as a symbol to reach out to him, to want his kingdom being established through you and through us together and in Utrecht and in the Netherlands and in the world. Father, you have such a heart for relationship. We want to be in relationship with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, you show me that some seeds are sown on fertile ground. Some seeds are sown on not so fertile ground. Father, I pray for those grounds, that those ziplocks can open now in the name of Jesus Christ. Open up so that you can start to be fertile. So that this seed that God sends to you today will fall on fertile ground and will get rooted and it will grow. And eventually, it will bear fruit in season. according to your will. Father, we give ourselves to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that I can also pray if there's anyone who for the first time realized what is God's kingdom about. You want to repent, you can do where you are, repent to God, and you can also come to the front, and there's facilitators ready that can pray with you. There's also, if you want some agreement that God can give words of wisdom or knowledge through His Holy Spirit in the person that can pray with you of where does God want you to be now, to sow now, in what season are you, why are you here, what is His heart for you, just to bring a confirmation. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord, and I plead the blood of Jesus over all of us and a protection over the seed and the protection over these blessings that we have received from you, Father. It will grow. It will not be stolen. It will not die. It will not be lost when we walk out of this church. We will ponder on it and we will come closer to you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.